It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio. And certainly we're moving on into the time of the year when we've got so many things to do in the outdoors, whether it's fishing, hiking, biking, we're all just itching to get outside. And this morning's guest is one I've had on the air for many years. I've hosted the show for nearly 18. And Donald, I think you've been on for every year. You've been on at least once. That's Donald Hay, who is the foremost wetlands expert, really, I think, in the world. But certainly, Donald, you're the foremost expert in this part of the world. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thanks for the wonderful background.
Well, it's true, Donald. The reason you've been on every spring for as long as I can remember is that spring's the time of the year when people look outside and say, what's that water doing there? I didn't know I was in a floodplain, or I didn't know my basement was in a wetland, or I didn't know all these farm fields actually were underwater at one point. So I think, Donald, what I'd love to do this morning is talk about where we're headed, particularly in Northeast Illinois, but also as a country, and how we are going to deal with the nitrogen loads in our rivers, the phosphorus loads, how our water treatment plants are being overwhelmed, Des Moines and in Ohio and other places where even the water coming out of the water treatment plants is no longer suitable for drinking. How are we going to manage, or what are some of the options, if you will, for managing what is an unseen, because you can't, it's not visual and you can't smell it, coming, really huge issue coming for the drinking water of the Mississippi alluvial plain, of which everybody in Chicago in one way or another is a part of. And certainly as you go down the river all the way to New Orleans, it's an increasing problem leading all the way to the area you first told me about, the hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico. So, Donald, that's a lot to throw at you, but can you explain in the simplest terms possible what we're dealing with, why it occurs, and maybe what some of the options are, and let her roll?
Sure. Well, first of all, Charlie, these problems that you've identified are real. They've been measured. They've been the subject of many workshops and symposiums. And we really don't have a clear solution, at least one that is agreed upon by everybody and one that is being implemented. We have talked about hypoxia for several decades, and very little has been done. One of the most active parties in trying to control that is the state of Iowa. They have put together a very good plan and have some clear ideas about how to handle their contribution. But then we have the state of Illinois, which contributes most. It is the largest contributor of nitrogen to the Mississippi River. And it is also the largest contributor of phosphorus. Now, Iowa ranks two, but Illinois is one. And to me, we have to start implementing a solution, and we've been working on that for some time. But I'd like to back up a little bit to some of the other things we have talked about over the years, and that is flooding and flood losses, flood damage. The water quality problems that were faced in the Illinois River Basin, the Missouri River Basin, the Upper Mississippi, water quality is inextricably to flood control. If we control flooding, we're going to control the flow of contaminants down our streams. And that's what we want to do. That's what we need to do. Now, to give you a measure of the flooding, it has increased dramatically. If you take a look at the flood stages on the Missouri River at Hermann, over the last 120 years, take the first 60, and the flood stage was 4 feet. Take the next 60, and that's the most recent 60, the flood stage is 8 feet. So we've doubled the stage. Now think about that in terms of water. That means we're pushing out of our watersheds more water, which of course carries more sediments because it has more energy to get those contaminants into the water. And Hermann is only an example. The same thing would go for the gauge at Henry or any of the gauges along the Illinois River, the Mississippi River, the Iowa River. They've all increased dramatically, and we have to bring this under control. A solution?
So, Donald, I'm going to interrupt you just for a second. This
sure.
is Donald Hay, who's worn many hats through the years, all of them to do with flood control, wetlands, trying to purify our water systems. And, Donald, you're describing what we all know, which is ever-increasing flood stages in our rivers because of tiling and paving and building and putting the water there much faster than it ever went when nature was going to put it there. So what
That's
you're
right.
saying, and if I interpreted it correctly, and you broke out a little bit, but is that the more volume we put in, the more chemicals and nutrients get passed through because it doesn't have a chance to settle out. And this is all like just a great big pipeline we've created as opposed to what was once a meandering systems of floodplains. Is that a pretty good analysis of what you just said?
That's a very good analysis. And your emphasis on floodplains is really important because we have broken the link between our rivers and their floodplains by building levees. And we have levees from New Orleans all the way out to Council Bluff, Iowa. And we have levees going right on up the Mississippi River to the Minnesota River. And something like half of the floodplain on the Illinois River is levied. Some 200,000 acres of land levied so that the water can't get there, can't be stored in times of flooding, can't be treated at other times to take the contaminants out of the water. And we have to change our practice of how we manage our streams. It's crucial.
So if we take, and we're going to take a break here in just a moment, Donald, but if we leave with this thought that the past is prologue, we've done what we've done, what I'd like to do when we come back from this break, Donald, is talk about what the options are going forward. If you live in a floodplain, you're not picking your house up and moving it. If the road's in a floodplain, it's not getting moved. So what are some of the options we have? And as you mentioned recently, very, very eloquently, we can't build enough water treatment plants to handle the amount of waste that's coming. So we have to find another way to do this. I suppose we can build them, but the cost is just horrific. So we have to find another way to treat our water if we're going to have drinking water in the Midwest and not be full of nitrogen and phosphorus and all these things. So when we come back, Donald, can we talk about that in a way that leads us to the point at the end of the show of this is a possible action plan and really this is a possible way for Illinois to lead the country? We
sure,
can do that.
Absolutely.
It'll be a great show. It's already been a great show, Donald. So thanks very much. We'll be back in just a moment. We're visiting with Donald Hay, who is your learning, if you don't already know, is really one of the great wetlands experts in the world. And this is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of America and Chicago, WGN Radio. And we'll be back in just a moment after a message from our Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here, your host on WGN Radio. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are visiting with Donald Hay, who is the executive director of the Wetlands Research Foundation, which doesn't even begin to describe his 40-plus years of working on wetlands throughout the country and here in northeastern Illinois. And, Donald, I promised before we took the break that we would move from the causes of our problems, which you pretty eloquently stated with flooding, to what are some of the ways we can address this looming crisis, and it is a coming crisis, when people can't drink their water in Des Moines, Iowa, after it's gone through a water treatment plant. We know we have a problem. Illinois is the number one contributor, as you said, of nitrogen in the entire Mississippi alluvial plain. So what are some of the ways that we can begin to work on the nitrogen, the phosphorus, the carbon sequestration, all the things that need to be done if we are going to have healthy drinking water down the road?
Charlie, I think there's a very simple answer to that that question, and that is that we have to undo some of the things that we have done to our river. Let's take the Illinois as an example. We have to work around the levees that we have. And here is one idea, that we would create a series of riverine national parks. We wouldn't take down the levees, but we would poke holes through them so that the water could flow out into the floodplain where it once could go freely. And we would hold that water there long enough until the flood wave passes or until the nitrogen and phosphorus have been reduced or removed. In turn, we wouldn't take any of the property. We wouldn't use eminent domain. We would work with the landowner, and the landowner would operate, instead of a corn and soybean farm, a nutrient farm, a farm which was dominated by wetland plants. And the wetland plants, the wetland structure, would provide all of these what are known as ecosystem services of flood storage and water quality improvement. It would save a tremendous amount of money, a huge amount of energy, trying to accomplish this task using conventional means, as you mentioned earlier. If we had to build treatment plants, the cost would be enormous. We did a study for Cook County in association with the Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago to upgrade their plants to meet nutrient criteria that the IPA thought appropriate. They would have to spend $2.5 billion. They would have to consume the energy equivalent to the annual use of 55,000 people to do that. If they used wetlands instead to polish the effluent from our treatment plants, they would save some $1.6 billion. And that would be a tremendous benefit to everybody, because it would not only solve the pollution problems for the Gulf of Mexico and the Mississippi River, but it would also provide wonderful habitat, increase recreational opportunities, provide for endangered species, and protect our streams in the long run. So riverine national parks strung along the Illinois River could do the job, and it would take about 200,000 acres of land. Now, your audience may be aghast at that. You may be somewhat surprised. 200,000 acres, however, is only half of the floodplain of the Illinois River. And it is almost exactly the amount of the Illinois floodplain that is levied. So if we opened it back up, let the water in, let it stand, grow wetlands, the farmer wouldn't have to plow any longer. We wouldn't be putting herbicides and nutrients down. We would be taking them out, and we would be putting them back in the soil where they originally were. Our soil was rich in phosphorus and rich in nitrogen prior to European settlement. And basically, since settlement started, we've been mining these nutrients, taking them out of the soil and making our soil less productive, because we've been using some very harsh chemicals, killing off the microbes that build soil. Soil is different than dirt. Dirt has no biological component to it. Soil has a very important biological component to it. Those are the microbes that, convert the various chemicals into the right form for plants. So
let me stop you first, just a moment, sure. Donald. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left. The Illinois River is not the only place this could be done. The idea is for, let's say, Des Moines, Iowa, and we have a huge listening audience in Iowa, all across farm community, WGN does. Des Moines, Iowa, big drinking water problems. They would do the same kind of things with some of the rivers in Iowa that are upstream of Des Moines. Is that the idea?
Absolutely. And let me just insert right here, for those landowners who are listening, you would be paid to remove those chemicals. In fact, what we're envisioning is a market for nitrogen, phosphorus, and you would sell those constituents back to the people who put them in the river. So the big bill would go back to the cities and the counties that operate the wastewater treatment plants, the industries that operate the wastewater treatment for their particular activity. And so the farmer makes money and would make a considerable amount of money over and above what he or she makes off of growing corn or soybeans. In fact, our estimates, and I'd be happy to share those with any of your listeners, our estimate goes that a farmer could quadruple his income or her income off of growing wetlands rather than growing corn and soybeans on the floodplain and not face the risk of losing a crop to flooding. The stability of this market is much greater than farming. And you will have this market as long as there are cities, industries, upstream, downstream, that are discharging waste to the river.
Well, Donald, it's a remarkable concept. And it's one that I'd love to visit with you further on, because 10 years ago, we weren't talking about this. The hypoxic zone really wasn't understood. We weren't closing down drinking water plants because they were being overwhelmed with agricultural and also human waste. And it's something that's evolved as we've evolved as a country as a result of us channelizing, as you said, all of our rivers. So I thank you for the education this morning. It's an exciting topic. And for those of you listening, if you go to Wetlands Research, you can get in touch with Donald Hay. You can read some of the papers he's written. And Donald, we will be back with much more on this as you continue to develop this concept. But thanks for your time this morning. And as always, thank you for enlightening us as to how we've ended up in the situation we are with flooded basements and also a challenge to our drinking water. So I really appreciate your coming on the show.
You're welcome, John.
And thank you all for being with me this morning. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.